Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger. You are listening live on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. We happen to be kind of the last remaining locally owned news station here in Tucson that brings you local news and talk. And that really means something to me, and I hope that that means something to you out there, listeners, as well, too, right? It's not that often that we get to have this forum, this opportunity to talk about all things that are important to us here in the 520, right? Everybody might get excited about the Baltimore Bridge over there, but in KVOI, we're talking the 22nd Bridge and that overpass over there and things that are locally important to us over here. There's probably nothing more important out there than at 4:09 p.m. tomorrow for the Wildcat game playing up against Clemson. Like, the excitement is absolutely tangible throughout the city as everybody preps up for that one. And the other thing that's been blowing up on my Facebook all week is Sweet Tomatoes reopening. I know this is wild, and maybe you might say that this isn't a local restaurant. And pre-COVID, it actually wasn't a local restaurant. They had over 100 stores of either Soup Plantation or Sweet Tomatoes across the country, and all of them closed up instantaneously in the first couple days of COVID. Last week, we talked about how St. Patrick's Day was really the four-year anniversary of COVID, and the shutdown of Sweet Tomatoes, whether it was local or not, really riveted through the community pretty quickly to show just how impactful this was going to be on our society. This Sweet Tomatoes is set to reopen with a grand opening on April 1st, but a little birdie tells me that they're already doing a soft opening out there, and my Facebook feed, I don't know about yours, but is littered with reviews and people excited for that one to return. This happens to be the only Sweet Tomatoes store in the entire country reopening. This is the first of many. Hopefully it is an ownership group that is not opening anywhere else in the country. This is their proof of concept here in Tucson, and so it might actually be a local concept now. So go out there and support, you know, these local operators as they start to revive a brand that truly has been gone for 4 years. Now, speaking of local over here, we happen to be located in the South Dodge Business Park at 44th and Palo Verde, right? An area that has had some difficult economic times up front, but it's probably most noted for the presence of Nimbus Brewery on 44th, right? And an ill-fated brewery that actually had been around since 1996, right around the first time and first years I started working at Breckenridge Brewery here in Tucson, which was located at River and Campbell. And there were five breweries in Tucson at that moment. There was Gentle Ben's, right, still around in some capacity as Barrio Brewing. In fact, it's the only one of the five still in existence to this day. There was a Push Ridge Brewery at Oracle and Rudisell area. Probably nobody remembers that one over here. There was River Road Brewery in Breckenridge. La Paloma had a concept called Habaneros up there that predated Llanos's place and predated Contigo. And then there was Nimbus, started by Nimbus Cousins in 1996, taken over by Jim Counts in the year 2000. And it lived out in some capacity all the way to 2018. Now, breweries are a local favorite, right? But this is an incredibly, incredibly hard business. I tell people quite often that the skill sets that it takes to be a brewer are not the same skill sets that it takes to be a restaurateur. To be a brewer, right, to handle the mash tuns and the brew kettles and the fermenters and clean these things out, I say you're probably 85 to 90% janitor. It is a tremendous amount of science and knowledge and a tremendous amount of antiseptic level of cleaning, because the same temperatures that you use to pitch the yeast to make the beer ferment are the same temperatures that bacteria often grow. And if you're not good at that, if you're not good at that brewing science, you're not going to be good at the restaurant business. Now, the restaurant business itself has an entirely different skill set. We've talked about this a bit on Jump in Tucson. As you happen to probably know, I'm a local restaurateur here in Tucson. And so some of my focus naturally is going to be on locally owned restaurants and bars and ways that we can support them. But this brewery thing is a really, really difficult balance to maintain. Everybody starts with a brewery in some sort of warehouse somewhere, much like Nimbus did over on 44th, and they don't really plan on being a restaurant. But the customers come into the tasting room and they say, gosh, this beer is pretty great. sure would be better with a pretzel. And you start with pretzels or chips or some popcorn, and maybe you end up with a food truck up front for a little while until that food truck proves to become unreliable, inconsistent, or perhaps goes off to do their own brick and mortar. And at some point, whether you like it or not, you end up giving in to the customer demands to build a hamburger, a chicken Caesar salad, a chicken finger, a French fry, and suddenly you're in the restaurant business. And that makes life not so easy. It's been a tough battle. As we said, of the original five breweries that were here when I started working in the restaurant business in the 90s, there is one and only one remaining, in spite of the fact that we've got upwards of a couple dozen breweries operating in some capacity in the state of Arizona. And so we're going to have a guest today after the break that has got a lot of experience in both the restaurant and brewing industry. Somebody that's really, you know, taken a few shots as we have with the COVID shutdowns that happened 4 years ago, and that's been very outspoken about many of the decisions that we've made, both politically and in the business world, both in the city of Tucson and in unincorporated Pima County. And these environments are affected in such a way that it becomes really hurtful and difficult for local operators to survive. We all want local breweries and restaurants to make it in our places. But like we can say with you know, both Push Ridge Brewery, River Road Brewery, and Breckenridge, Habaneros, and Nimbus, none of them are here anymore, in spite of that local support, in spite of that local goodwill. And so when we come back after the break, I'm going to bring on Taylor Carter, owner of both Fire Truck Brewing, Carter Ranch Insurance, rancher, businessman, you know, extraordinaire, very well-spoken, outspoken individual, and we're going to talk about the challenges that have happened to him both in the city of Tucson, Pima County, with COVID, with his restaurants, with his breweries, breaking it all down for you on Jump in Tucson when we come back after the break. You're listening to Grant Kruger live on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back, Tucson, Arizona. You are live with your host, Grant Kruger, here on KVOA 10:30 a.m. The Voice. I am joined by a very special guest today, a restaurateur and brewer that has expanded quite rapidly here in Southern Arizona, had a lot of things going on with his brewery. I happened to be really moved by his post just the other day on Facebook talking about the four-year anniversary of the forced shutdown of restaurants in the city of Tucson. This is the owner of Fire Truck Brewing Company, Mr. Taylor Carter. Good morning, sir.
Grant, thanks so much for having me on today. Really appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you coming out on our show, Jump in Tucson. We've spent a lot of time over these last few months meeting with business owners and politicians and movers and shakers and people that are doing things right here in the city of Tucson. And you have employed now, you know, hundreds of people over the last few years and run some very successful businesses. Give me a little bit of rundown. Let our listeners know about how you guys got started over here with both Sentinel Peak and Fire Truck Brewing Company.
Yeah, so you know, it's a story that literally starts in a firehouse about 14 years ago. Myself and a couple other firefighters had this crazy idea of starting a brewery, and two of my partners, my two main partners at the time, one of them is still my main partner now, Matt, awesome, great dude. We were coming back from a call about 3 o'clock in the morning, and they were talking about this brewery concept they were trying to get off the ground, and they were just having troubles with it. And so I kind of nonchalantly, just jokingly, at 3 o'clock in the morning, said to them, "Well, hey, make me a partner and let's get this venture off the ground." And so we met 3 days later and started talking business. And well, here we are now, almost 14 years later. So we've been in business a little over 10 years, our Grant Swan location. We opened that in January of 14, and just kind of hit the ground running at that point. You know, we started as a brewery, and we needed, because of the zoning, we needed to serve some sort of food. So we did pretzels, things like that, something real easy bites. And then from there, progressed exactly as you said. Customers wanted food, so we built out a menu. Matt, my main partner, is a foodie and a fire department chef. He's also an engineer. He drives a big red truck, which is pretty cool. And in the course of that, just built out a great menu and kind of expanded and grew from there. Our distribution started growing. We started growing across the state with our distribution, our brand, our Salida del Sol, our Mexican Amber, just hit the market and crushed it. Absolutely crushed it. You know, you get a Mexican lager, it's either us or Dos Equis. So you get a local. People loved it, and it did really, really well. And that kind of took us all the way up until we started growing locations. We went from one location to two, to our Tankerville location, and then started making plans for our Oravai location. And then, of course, as you were saying, 2020, you know, early March hit, and everybody started talking about COVID, this flu type thing out of China, and we're all watching it, you know, at the fire department and seeing what's going on. And then we get that call, that notice on March 17th at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, that effective 8 p.m. there's going to be a curfew and all restaurants, all everything is required to shut down. And what a crazy day.
Right. I mean, we're talking St. Patrick's Day, perhaps one of the busiest bar and restaurant days in the entire year. And at 8 p.m. on St. Patrick's Day, you were not only forced to shut down by the city of Tucson, but you were saying that armed police officers came to your store?
Yeah, it was a crazy, surreal moment. You know, nobody really understood what was going on or the capacity of what was about to happen. But this was the 2-week shutdown, as some people remember. A lot of people had just forgotten, plain simply forgotten what happened. But we were shutting down for a 2-week pause on everything. So I think everybody, you know, who was reasonable kind of sat back and said, okay, we don't have enough knowledge to see what's going on. Everything seems to be blown out of crazy proportion, whether it is or it isn't. So yeah, let's shut down for 2 weeks. And at 7:50, at my Grant and Swan location, two TPD officers arrived at 7:50 also at the Tankerville location where I was at, with a full house along with the Grant and Swan location, full house packed. Two other TPD officers arrived, at which I went outside to meet them.
My goodness. Do you believe you were targeted in some capacity? Like, do you think that your establishments were you know, singled out? Because obviously there's substantially more restaurants than we have uniformed officers in the city of Tucson, as has been well documented by Christy Simone on the show before us over here. Like, why fire truck?
That's a great question. You know, I consider myself the lucky one. You know, out of all the restaurants and bars, I get police from at two of the city locations right there, which was pretty cool. So, you know, me being in fire and knowing a lot of these guys, I went out and talked to them and had a personal conversation, you know, and asked them, hey, are you guys going to all the bars and restaurants in all of city of Tucson? And one of them, who was very standoffish, did not want to talk with me, but the other one was super nice and said, no, we're not. There's a few that we've been told that we need to go by. So like I said, I was the lucky ones. And we had good conversation on what their job entailed and what exactly they were doing and what this would lead to. One of the guys was very, very leery about everything and did not think that this was part of his job or that he should be doing this to shutting down free enterprise. I agreed with him wholeheartedly. And the other one just did not want to say, didn't even want to say a word, nothing, which I don't blame him.
No, an incredibly, incredibly difficult time for all Tucsonans, but none worse than probably the restaurant ownership groups here across the entire state, really. I would say that March 17th, 2020 was the worst day of my entire life in the restaurant business. And that's 34 years of being in business. And so I can sympathize and imagine just what you were going through with a multitude of stores. How many employees did you have to lay off because of that?
So that is a great question. At the time, we had a little over 40 employees between two restaurants and the brewery. And the next morning, myself and Matt, my main partner, met, and we talked about what we should do. And so we went over the, obviously the bills keep coming, life keeps moving, it doesn't matter where we shut down or not. And we made the decision not to lay off a single employee. Looking back on it now, financially, terrible decision. Morally, it was definitely the right decision to make. And if I had it to go over again, that is exactly what we did. We started a food prep kitchen at the restaurants so that we would be able to feed not just our employees, but we also put it out on social media and some other sites, and went on the radio too. That was any displaced industry employees that they could come in and no questions asked, we had meals to go. And so we were making pasta dishes, we were making chicken dishes, we were making everything at that point, and just blowing through cash.
I can imagine, Taylor. That's amazing. You're listening to Taylor Carter, owner of Fire Truck Brewing Company, and Grant Kruger, live on Jump in Tucson, 10:30 a.m. And we're talking all things that went down on St. Patrick's Day 4 years ago, the effects of how this rippled, you know, through the entire industry. And in a group like yours, chooses not to lay off your employees, what sort of damages does that do to your company financially? Like, how big of a hole do you end up in?
Yeah, so we were actually slated to buy a building at Grant and Campbell right there. And so we had been saving up for about 2 years. So our funds. Now, naturally, this was a 2-week shutdown. So we said, okay, we can absorb this for 2 weeks. It's going to hurt. There's no doubt about this, but it's not going to kill us. And then it just continued. And we continued to do the right thing because it's only going to be another week. It's only going to be another week. We're looking at the other states. You know, Florida's open. Places in Texas are open. Places up in Phoenix were open. So, of course, Pima County's going to open. Of course, the city of Tucson is going to open. They're going to have such a huge deficit in their tax basis from just sales tax alone that they're going to have to open. Surprisingly, they never did. And, of course, they never took any budget cuts.
So we've got a caller on the line over here, another well-known restaurateur, Mr. Josh Jacobson. Good morning, Josh.
Gentlemen, of course, you know, I couldn't help myself but call in with you two remarkable individuals on the radio. So my question for you guys, since you are probably two of the most outspoken voices in small business in Tucson when it comes to pushing back on the government, what is your advice to other business owners that feel like they might be too scared to speak out? How do you get them to take the courage and follow in you guys' footsteps?
Boy, that's,
thank you.
Great talking to you, Josh. My buddy Josh right there. Hey, so this is a problem that we just face in our society and our culture nowadays. Everybody is scared to say anything. Everybody's scared to step out to do anything because they're afraid of the repercussions. But at the end of the day, if more people step up and say something, then we don't have to go down this road. This is something that we all need to do. Whenever we see something bad, whenever we see something wrong, people need to step out and be together. We're stronger together than we are apart. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you see that in the fire department all the time when, you know, you have issues with administration and you get, you know, the guys together through our union. We're stronger together. And the same in anything we do in society. But as far as like business owners to be able to step up, at the end of the day, if only one or two of us step up and get smacked down, it's going to be you next. So, you know, just keep that in mind. And I know there was a ton of business owners that contacted me, you know, and others that were stepping up and saying, thank you for doing something. And I would say the same thing to them. I'd say, hey, step up and say something. Join me on this. Our voices are stronger together.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think that even industry leaders stepping up in other fields outside of the restaurant business, my courage was derived not just from Taylor, he's speaking up from day one, but from the gym industry as well too, right? To watch the resiliency of both Danny Sawaya from Tucson Strength and to look what was even happening up in Phoenix, right? With Tom Hatton and Mountainside Fitness, that on those first few days, he was saying, absolutely not. You cannot shut down businesses like mine without some sort of metric of how and when we're going to be able to open back up. And Mr. Hatton ended up suing Governor Ducey, right? This was not a Republican or Democrat issue. Like, they went after the Republican governor and won on two separate occasions to create metrics for both bars and for gyms to be able to reopen. And the courage of others standing up helped give me the strength to stand up as well too, Josh. And so I urge others out there, listeners as well too, to not be afraid, right? Like, if we get run over every single day and we say nothing over and over and over again, eventually it is going to come down on you and there won't be anybody left. And our voices need to be heard. Small business is the absolute backbone of America. It's one of the things that makes Pima County great and Tucson great is that we do support locally owned restaurants, right? There is a grip of amazing establishments we talk about both all the time on this show and in general, I find it fantastic that in Tucson, we do tend to support the locals as opposed to the chains. It's a unique characteristic that we have. It's one of the reasons Tucson was granted this UNESCO City of Gastronomy Award. And it's something I think that makes our hospitality industry great. And you too, Josh, have stuck up as well too. Like, that balance between being a business owner And sticking your neck and nose into local politics is not something that's very easy. We're going to explore that a little further when we come back after the break. This has been a fascinating discussion thus far with Taylor Carter, owner of Fire Truck Brewing Company. You're listening to Grant Kruger. Jump in, Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back, Tucson and Southern Arizona. You're listening to Grant Kruger on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Jump in, Tucson. We've got a great guest today with us. It's Mr. Taylor Carter, owner of Fire Truck Brewing and Carter Ranch Insurance Company. Welcome back, Taylor.
Thank you. Love to be here.
And so before the break, we had got a call from Josh Jacobson, owner of Lucky Wishbone and Arizona Sunland Foods. And he was talking about, you know, others having the courage to stand up, right? To say something, to step up and mention what's going on in our city, in our county, and how that can help make a change. You've been in business as both Sentinel Peak and Fire Truck Brewing at Grant and Swan for a decade. I'm imagining a lot of things have gotten a little bit different over there on Grant Road over these last 10 years. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, things have definitely changed, and they've changed dramatically in the past couple of years. You know, I can tell you, I'm a third generation Tucsonan. My grandparents on both sides came here in the 50s. And of course, like any place, things are going to change. There's no doubt about it. You got to have progression with everything you do, but you want to have progression in the right manner, and you want to be able to do things so that the city grows collectively with everybody, and everybody prospers. You know, and a lot of times, especially in the last couple of years, you know, I got so busy working that I was just thinking, man, everywhere must just be in the same predicaments that we are. And then my boys, we have a ranch also, and we rodeo and we travel, and so in doing that, going out and seeing other places, I realized, wow, the roads are better at other places. There doesn't seem to be homeless everywhere. I literally don't see people shooting up on the sides of the streets in every other place that we go. Business seems to be rocking. I don't see graffiti. What's the difference? What is the common denominator? Obviously, we're not doing something right here in Tucson, and we need to do it better. You know, I love Tucson. This is my home. This is where I'm raising my family. This is, you know, where all my friends are. And we all want it to be better. It doesn't matter what aspect of life you come from or what your political views are. Of course, you want things to be better. And so we need to do better with that. But some of the things I'm seeing in Midtown, Grant and Swan area, is just the crime and the, you know, I know that it's everybody calls it the homelessness, but it's the drug addiction. It's everywhere. I saw it as a firefighter. I see it as a business owner. I see it when we are opening up our restaurants in the mornings to the guys that are, and now a lot of women there too. It used to only be guys that I would see for years, and now it's a whole lot of women, girls, you know, under the age of 25, under the age of 30, maybe even under the age of 18. It's hard to tell, but they're rough. They're having a hard time in life, and they're drug addicted, and it's sad. It's horrible. I know we all see the posts on Facebook. Have you seen my sister? Have you seen my daughter? Things like that. And I tell you what, I actually had one of those come across my feed about 6 months ago. And sure enough, I ran into this girl totally randomly. I was at the Starbucks at Grand Swan, and I see a woman standing outside, and I'm like, oh, I recognize that girl. And I was like, that's the girl from Facebook. And I walked up to her and I asked her if she needed help. And she looked at me and she asked if I had any money. So I gave her $5 and I said, I think I've seen your picture on Facebook. And she immediately started crying and just took off running, you know? But that's somebody's daughter, you know, that's somebody's sister. And we need to do better as a society to help stop this drug flow that's coming into our community, which is killing Tucson, it's killing Pima County. And I know there's some great groups that are out there that are really trying to, you know, hit this at front, and we're just seem to be getting blocked by Pima County and by the city of Tucson that want to be using this as leverage for their points for everything they do.
No, we're talking with Taylor Carter, owner of Fire Truck Brewing Company. They're primary location is, of course, at Grant and Swan, and an area that certainly, you know, has had its ups and downs over the years. And I've seen, like, that you've made some posts over the years, you know, with video footage of things being stolen from the patio and graffiti being done. Can you tell us a little bit about the crime that has directly impacted your business and what that's cost you to repair? Josh has talked about this in a couple forums on the radio as the crime tax, right? Like, what is that crime tax costing Fire Truck Brewing Company right now?
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of times I'll post stuff on social media, whether it's our brewery page or my personal page, you know, talking about the issues that we've had in the crime. But really in the last year, I've probably only posted maybe a quarter of the things, because at some point it just becomes too overwhelming. But I mean, we've had graffiti on our delivery truck. We've had the exhaust cut out of it. We've been broken into numerous times. We've had, you know, smash and grabs. We've had people cutting the fences in our smoker and stealing the propane. One of the funny ones, I guess if you look at it this way, is they cut the fence in the smoker and they stole all the brisket that was smoking overnight. So.
Not the delicious brisket from Fire Truck Brewing Company, no!
You know, I'm sure it was a crime of opportunity. They were walking by, they smelled it. It was so amazing and they couldn't help themselves. So there it is.
That is marketing 101 right over there for sure. That smell, right? You're selling the sizzle, not the steak, as they say. And in this case, it was just too tantalizing, perhaps for some of the Tucson locals. But what a terrible effect that this has on your business and your opportunity to continue to do business, to both grow, expand, or even possibly force you to contract in some capacity. And you've announced just recently on Facebook that you've got like a closure coming up of one of your stores on the east side. Do you mind if we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's a bittersweet one. That's our Tanque Verde location, Tanque Verde in Sabino Canyon. You know, a little over 5 years we've been there, but we are closing. This is our last week. Friday, we're doing a party. Saturday is our last day. But yeah, we are contracting because we have to, you know, with the cost of goods, the cost of employment, the cost of insurance, our electric and utilities have just gone through the roof. And then that hidden tax of the crime wave that we were just talking about. You know, we've had to add in more security measures, you know, alarms, our cameras, you know, everything else on that basis, and it costs money. And every time we have a break-in, we have to close down. We have to close down. We have to wait for the police. We have to do the reports. We have to repair. It costs a lot of money.
No, what a shame. It's a terrible thing to go through. A fate I don't wish upon anybody in the restaurant business, right? In theory, we are competitors, but actually we're friends. We're all brothers in arms in the same business over here. But have no fear. Take note that even Sam Fox has closed multiple restaurants in Tucson, Arizona, right? Sweet Tomatoes closed both of their restaurants here in Tucson, Arizona. You have James Beard award-winning chefs, Tucson Iron Chefs, that have also had to end the run of some of their establishments, often based on some macroeconomic situations about the surrounding neighborhood. We've got a call on our call-in line, which happens to be 520-790-2040. Mr. Bill Beard is on the line out there. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning to both of you. And I just wanted to remind folks that are out there, you both have talked about, you know, courage to stand up and say certain things to, be it government, to your fellow business owners, even to individuals out there. And it cannot be underlined and stressed too much to the folks that are out there. And when you're an entrepreneur, you are definitely a different cut of the breed. But at the same time, when government comes along, you know, 4 years ago, and you were talking about it, basically telling you cannot operate, you cannot do the things that the entrepreneurial spirit prompted you to start with in the first place. Folks, when things like government doing what they did to your business 4 years ago and since then, if you're not standing up and using that courage that prompted you to start your business in the first place, you're basically telling all of those folks that are out there, your fellow businessmen, your fellow just individuals out there, you have to stand up and say no. You've got to use that same courage that prompted you to start your business to continue standing up and saying and being an outspoken person for those things that prompted you to start in the first place, or that ability for you and your kids and the next generation is flushed down the toilet. You have to stand up.
No, thank you so much, Bill. We appreciate the commentary on this one. You are 100% correct, sir. That is a dead bullseye. Everybody's got to stand up. Personally, Taylor happens to be one of my heroes out here that really put his voice out there first and foremost and was unafraid. And I'm really proud to have him on our show today, Jump in Tucson. Tomorrow, we've got Tom Moulton coming up from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. Of course, Jump in Tucson also brings you Dr. Ed Ackerley on Mondays and Fridays and the Venerable General Ted Maxwell on Tuesdays for his engagement hour. We've got one more segment with Taylor Carter coming back up. He's got some new business ventures that he's been working on in the future over here too. We're going to talk about what the Carters are up to next when we come back on Jump in Tucson. You're listening to Grant Kruger, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back to the last segment of Jump in Tucson. You are live with your host, Grant Kruger. We are with Taylor Carter, owner of both Fire Truck Brewing Company and a new little business venture that you and your lovely wife Crystal have going on. Tell me a little bit about Carter Ranch Insurance. I see a hat up over here. There must be something neat going on with this.
Yeah, so kind of a cool venture that my wife and I started about a little over a year ago. We love the horse industry. We've been in the horse industry for a long time. We have a ranch, we board and train about 40 to 60 horses at a time. And our boys are now at the age where we're traveling around and competing in rodeo and horse shows and things like that. So I wanted something that I could actually do while I was on the road with that. And so we started doing ranch insurance, and then it kind of progressed from there, just not just ranch, to everything from regular homeowners, auto, business, umbrella liabilities, general liabilities, everything. So life insurance, boy, I've really dived into that one. That's a cool area.
So tell me about ranch insurance. How does that ranch insurance differ from home or traditional business policies?
Yeah, definitely. So, if you have, any kind of agriculture on your property, whether it's farming, any horses, livestock, anything like that, then we can, it's basically a homeowner's policy, but it gives you liability coverage on everything, on the aspect that a regular homeowner's policy would not give you. And the crazy thing is, most of the time they're cheaper too, which is pretty dang cool.
Interesting. Where can I get more information on Carter Ranch Insurance? Is there a website? Give me the plug over here.
I would love to have a website, but I have been just too dang busy to actually put one up yet. But I do have a Facebook page, Carter Ranch Insurance. You'll see an awesome picture of me and a cool video of myself and my wife, who's Crystal is my, she is my rock. I tell you what, if it wasn't for her, you got to have a good partner in life. That is for sure. And she is mine. There's no doubt about that.
I can confirm the accuracy of that statement over there as well too, sir.
Yeah, no doubt. But with the brewery, we're also doing some really cool things in the next, 6 to 8 months or so. We are closing down our Tanqueray location, but we're going to be focusing more on our other two locations, Oracle and Linda Vista up in Oro Valley, and then Grant Swan, our main one there. We've got some cool things that we're going to be coming out with and talking about in the next hopefully month or so. They're not quite done yet, so I don't want to pull that ribbon off of it yet. But we are also revamping our production too. So we have our Voltron brewing facility downtown that it's us and Borderlands. We brew together, and it's a really, really cool place. We have an event facility down there. And it's our goal to be producing and getting back all across the state again.
Sure. I mean, the brewery business, as I discussed earlier, is an incredibly difficult business. And then you mix in the restaurant business as well, too, and you get this sort of Venn diagram overlap of two very difficult industries, and you've got to have the skill set in both. And it is certainly no easy feat, as we talked about the graveyard of other breweries sitting here in front of me in the illustrious history of Tucson. So, speaking of restaurants here in Tucson, Chris always asks this question of his guests, and as a restaurateur, I thought I'd ask you, give me your favorite couple local restaurants over here. What's on your and Crystal's go-to list, and stuff that does not include mine, Josh's, or yours, in fairness?
Well, those are obviously my favorite, but we there's this little breakfast place called Margie's on 22nd and Harrison. Love that place. I probably go there at least twice a week. It is just fantastic. It is just really good home you know, breakfast cooking. Absolutely great.
Margie's 22nd and Harrison. Yep. I do not know of this one. So thank you for the tip over there. I appreciate that. Yeah, listeners, please take a peek at Margie's over there.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. Boy, and then, I mean, there's so many other great restaurants, you know, as far as... I'm going to stick with Margie's for breakfast.
All right, we're going with Margie's. A single shot, as they might say in the candidate world over there. That's fantastic. That's awesome. So give us a little bit more rundown about Voltron Brewing and this partnership over here. We've got a few more minutes in this segment. Like, how does that work that you're sharing brewing facilities with another local brewery? Because Borderlands is also doing another restaurant. My understanding is they're going into the space that is at River and Craycroft that is housed Bocata in the past, most recently housed Harvest Restaurant as well. And I think they're going to build what they were calling a Brewcade, which was sort of a brewery slash arcade, I'm guessing, on this one. Tell me about your relationship with Borderlands.
Yeah, so, you know, good guys over there. It's kind of been, you know, like any other relationship, a bit of an up-down roller coaster. But the one thing that I've learned in the brewing industry is that it's very... not everybody plays by the same rules, and I don't mean that in the form of our partnership, but just on distribution. You know, we have a 3-tier system in Arizona, and it's very interesting on how it works. I'll let you guys research that one yourself, because I could talk for an hour on how it basically goes back to Chicago Mafia. But at the end of the day, we've learned some really good lessons in some in the past couple of years, and we are going to be bringing our beer back up again. You know, at one point, our Salida del Sol was in every single grocery store in Arizona. We had taken 8% of the Dos Equis market, which is Constellation Brands. And I tell you what, you don't think that that's very big. Well, you get on their radar, and that is a devastating thing to do. You know, so there's some other good brands that have done some great things, and they don't compete directly with the type of styles. So we're making some other styles. We're still going to push our Salida del Sol as much as we can, our Mexican Amber, because people want it. It's just a little bit more difficult now because you got Dos Equis. They've got money, and local guys don't.
Without a doubt, the reference to the Chicago Mafia does not go unnoticed when it comes to state of Arizona Title IV liquor laws. We certainly could do an entire show just on that one to really educate the guests and probably open a lot of eyes about how liquor distribution works in the state of Arizona. But essentially, breweries have to stay small, right? You have to produce 40,000 barrels a year or less to own your own restaurants. How many barrels a year are you producing more or less right now with Fire Truck?
Oh, definitely not that much. But you know, like I said, our goal is to grow again and be able to produce quite a bit. You know, we are looking for you know, strategic investment partners at this time. So if anybody's interested and wants to talk with me, you know, hit me up, Facebook, drop in at any of the restaurants. You know, we are available and actively pursuing that. But we've got an awesome facility, 10,000 square foot place next to Rocks and Ropes downtown. It's really cool.
No, I've been. It's awesome. There's a tasting room as well there too.
Yep.
So, I mean, that kind of, to me, counts as one of your establishments as well too, when I can pony up and get a pint over there. But like we discussed at the beginning of the show, it's not exactly a restaurant either. They don't have a full kitchen, correct?
Correct. Yeah, no kitchen at all. So we do food trucks there, and we partner with other local groups that come in and do that. And then we'll do big events down there, and we'll cater it also.
Are there any future beer shows coming up in Tucson in any capacity?
There is. There's going to be one down at Armory Park in about 2 weeks. So that'll be a good one. And then, you know, every little brewery and restaurants, you know, they're always doing little spotlights and things here and there, you know. So I think it's super, super important that people just remember to support local. And remember, support the people that support, you know, your causes and things like that. You know, we're really big advocates for, you know, helping people that are in need, local kids sports, you know, events and things like that. So, you know, when you put money into restaurants and organizations like ours, we put it back into the community.
No, without a doubt, you do. You walk the walk, you know, and I appreciate that very much about you, Mr. Carter, sir. I really can't thank you enough for coming on Jump in Tucson today to share your story with us, right? We love the stories of local success. I love the stories of people that stand up and fight and look for ways to improve not just their business, but the community as a whole. And you, sir, are certainly an example of that. And we're very blessed to have you operating here in Tucson. I hope that all our listeners out there will go continue to support Fire Truck Brewing. Look into Carter Ranch Insurance on Facebook as well. Tomorrow, Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Traction Alliance, Ed Ackerley on Friday. It has been my pleasure to host you today, Tucson. This is Grant Kruger. You've been listening to Jump in Tucson on 10:30. 630 AM, The Voice, your home for local news and talk.